Anybody like to have a copy of God's Word? Bible, that is. It's the New Testament in its entirety. And it's offered to you quite freely. Yours only simply for the taking. It is the Word of God. God speaks in holiness. God says and does everything that he says and does in holiness. So, you know, it's truth. You can take it as read, you know, that factual, you know, the Word of God, God's testimony, and of course that concerning his own Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world, of course, to be the Savior and the only Savior of sinners. So you like to have a copy. It's, like I say, it's offered to you freely. Yours, do with as you will, but who knows, maybe want you to look into its pages, peruse them, you know, see. Maybe, perhaps, you know what God has to say to you. Maybe you'll hear his voice. Maybe, you know, you'll hear the voice of the Savior calling you out of the darkness, out of the misery, the unhappiness, oh, the terrible, terrible unhappiness that sin brings upon us. And still we can't leave it alone. You know, it's like the person, you know, with lung cancer, you know, has been smoking all his or her life, you know, and they know it's killing them, you know, but still they can't leave the thing alone. And really, you know, that's sin, you know. It's killing you. It's killing you, but you still can't leave it alone. I mean, any other which way, we would call it madness, you know. We'd call it insanity, wouldn't we? But that's what it's doing, you know, it's killing us. Wages of sin is death, you know. But of course, along the way, it brings so much unhappiness, so much sadness, so much brokenness, you know. But still, of course, we continue on with it, but well, just here to tell you, you know, there's a way out. There's a way, you know, it's power that we need. That's the thing, you know, that, because we have, that's what we haven't got, you know. There are times when we want to leave it alone, times we want to be done with our sin, but, you know, we think, well, how on earth do I? How can I? I haven't got the power, I haven't got the will, I haven't got the strength, you know, to leave it alone. So I'll just here tell you where the power can be found, you see. Like the Bible says, you know, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, it's the power of God unto salvation. To save people, you know, to save men and women from that which we can't save themselves. The power belongs to God, you see, it's him that has to do it, you know, that's it's totally different, you know, to religion. You know, religion's about what you do, you know, and that's just like sin, you know, it's just another addiction for people, you know, the religion. Doesn't matter what brand you want to name, you know, Islam, Romanism, Buddhism, Confucianism, doesn't matter, it's all just the same. It's just another way of talking about sin. It's the grace of God that you need. The grace, the love of God, you see. And the grace and love of God is seen as, well, it's made known, made manifest, you know, in the sending of his only begotten Son into the world, that, well, that through him that you could be, might be saved. That is through faith in his name. But it takes grace, you see. It takes what you don't deserve. You know, we talk about rights these days, you know. I've got the right to this and the right to that. Human rights, you know. It's a lot of bunkum. It's a lot of bunkum. It's a lot of nonsense. We got no rights at all. The only right we've got's the right to hell. The only right we've got's to the penalty, the punishment for our sin. That's the only right we've got. No, friends. It's not what you deserve. It's the very grace is the very opposite, you know, to what you deserve. It's a penalty that you deserve, but God in the gospel presents you with His favor, free favor. The gospel, it's good news. That's why we call it good news, you see. Because like the judge saying, you know, instead of me sending you to jail forever, you know, I'm going to not just let you off, you know, I'm going to credit you with a perfect righteousness. I'm going to give you a complete free bill of health, you know. And no cost to you. No cost to you. The cost on God's side. The cost on God's side, God sending His only begotten Son into the world to pay the price you can't pay. To pick up the tab, to pick up the bill that's due to you. You know? He covers it all with His blood that He shed on the cross for sinners. So that you could be set free from it. So that you could have a clean bill of health. So you could be made well by His stripes, and so that you could be reconciled to God. The anger gone, you know? The anger gone. You know, people complain about my signs from the Bible, don't you know? From the book of Psalms, you know? And God, you know, God says there, and He speaks in holiness, God says He's angry with the wicked every day. Well, don't you think somebody ought to be angry? Don't you think it's time somebody got angry? You know, the wickedness that we see in the world today. Think of the millions, 12 million unborn infants in the name of abortion, slaughtered on the altar of your sexual pleasure. 12 million children. Think about it, a little tiny little newborn baby in your hands. Could you stick a knife into it? Could you? Ma'am, could you stick a knife into it? You think to yourself, nobody could harm this. But that's what they do in these abortion clinics. They would stick knives in them. They rip them apart out of their mother's wombs. Murderers. Manslayers. Oh yeah, God's angry with the wicked every day. You can take it as read. God speaks in holiness. But that's not the astonishing, that's not the amazing thing. The amazing thing is that God has done something by which you can be relieved of His anger caused by your wickedness. And that is in sending His Son to die on a cross so that you can be relieved of God's anger. Be under it no more and never again. Think of your will, you know, your madness of your modern society. I mean, don't you think somebody ought to get angry? Don't you think somebody stood up to the plate and said, look, hey, come on, this is madness, we've got to stop this. You know, men, they call it mental illness. It's not mental illness, it's immorality. Young women saying, you know, that they want to be men and having themselves cut to pieces, you know. And men too, the other way around. They say they want to be men. You'll stand before God judged in the gender that He made you. If He made you a woman, if He made you a man, that's how you'll stand before God judged. Go and get your DNA checked out. Yeah, that'll tell you what you are, what gender you are. And there are only two, male and female. Don't you think it's time somebody got angry with the madness that's taken over you, that's gripped your minds? Then, of course, we could talk about the perversity. We could talk about your LGBT madness. We could talk about the sodomy, the lesbianism. We could talk about the fornication, sex outside of marriage. God demands, commands in His Word. The sexual activity is to be performed and enjoyed within the bounds of holy matrimony and no more. But of course, all this has led to what? More and more illegitimate children. your country, your nation full of illegitimate children. Then of course you've got divorce ever and anon for no reason at all. And then remarriage again and again, which God says is nothing but adultery, not marriage at all. So don't you think it's time somebody got angry? Somebody stood up to the plate and said, this is wrong, this is morally wrong and unacceptable, and it has to be stopped. Well, that's what God says in His Word. That's what God says in the Bible. He says He's angry with the wicked every day. And He says it must stop. Because if it doesn't stop, that's repentance. If it doesn't stop, if you don't turn from it, if you don't quit it, yeah? If you don't turn away from it and believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ, He will bring it to a stop. And it will come to a stop before His judgment throne, when He casts you into hell forever, unless you have repented and believed the gospel. That's the end. That's the end of your sin. That's the full, final, born consequences of your sin. Eternal damnation. But God, in His love, in the greatness, vastness, immensity of His love, of which you know nothing in this generation, has done something about the sin factor, given us His only begotten Son to die on a cross, to suffer, bleed and die on a cross, so that you could be forgiven. So why the question today, what did God for you here today, is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 10, check it out if you want. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's Jesus, you know. He, the one that is, for whom are all things. Everything was made for Him, and everything was made by Him. Yeah? Evolution, that's a lie. That's sin too. That's sin too. That's just your expressing your unbelief, which of course is the capital crime. That's the one, of course, that will finish you off, if that is, you don't repent of it. So evolution, see, that's sin, you know, that's just another expression of your sinful heart, sinful minds that needs to be repented of. But the truth of the matter is, nothing evolved, yeah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by Him were all things made that were made, and for Him, for His glory, not for you. World doesn't revolve around you. God didn't make everything in the world, in the universe, for you, just for you, and to revolve around you. It was made by His Son, for His Son, for His glory. Jesus Christ, He is the sovereign, great Creator. And the one, of course, well, who would be your Savior, your Redeemer, should you but repent and believe in His name. So my question for you today, well, the first one anyway, why was it necessary for Christ to suffer death? Well, the answer, simple answer, is because God's justice and truth, you know, had to be vindicated. You know, God set laws like He has done in your universe. You know, this is my argument for you. You know, you say you believe in evolution, but where do you get laws out of evolution? Laws are antithetical to evolution. Evolution is about the strong overcoming the weak. The purpose of laws is to support and defend the weak. There are laws in your universe. Yeah, laws of logic, law of love, law of mathematics, law of chemistry, laws of nature, as you call them, law of gravity. All these laws, you know, where do they come from? You don't get laws out of matter. Laws come from an intelligent mind. God through his Son Jesus Christ, who made all things, embedded those laws in your universe. Yeah? And God, of course, well, he has stated in his word, the Bible, his truth. You see, he told your first parent and mine, Adam. He's the one, you see, who brought us into this contract. He wasn't just the first man, Adam. He was the representative of the whole human race. You see, and he entered into a contract, into an agreement with sin. And that contract is still binding. Not just binding upon him, binding upon the entire human race. So you're under sin. You're in a contract with sin that you can't get out of unless somebody shreds it for you. And that person, of course, is Jesus Christ by his death. Only he can get you out of the contract. Only he can meet its demands. Only he can satisfy God's justice. God said in the beginning to your first parent and mine, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Sin's wages. There has to be a death, you see, in order to pay the wages of sin. Somebody has to pay for it. Somebody has to die for it. No, sir, that won't happen. But well, to you, sir. You will. You will, sir, down on your knees. Humble yourself before God while you can, while you may. So like I say, friends, death, man says, let God die. That won't happen. God's the everlasting, eternal God. But God, you see, God has done something. God has sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world. And that, of course, purposely to die that death that would satisfy his justice and his truth. Because nothing else would, you see. But he had to suffer. He had to bleed, he had to die, you see. But he had to be a perfect man. He had to be without sin. And he had to be God as well, because, you see, the nature that sinned, you know, had to be punished. So he had to become a man, and he had to be without sin. He had to live a perfect, blameless life. And he also had to be God, because he would have to, in that dying, in that death, he would have to bear the wrath of God, and only God himself could bear the wrath of God due to the sins of the world. That's why it was necessary, you see, for Jesus, for the Son of God to come, to live and die, to suffer death, in order that God's justice and truth, his law, might be satisfied. But you see, if he doesn't do that in your behalf, if you do not believe, if you do not trust in him, his person and his works, his dying and his rising, you do not trust in Jesus Christ, well then, you have to make satisfaction yourself. You have to pay the price in full. Somebody has to pay the bill. And Jesus, in the gospel, you see, he paid the price in full for all those who will trust in him, for those who will believe on his name. But you say, no. You reject, you rebel, you say, no, I will not believe, I do not believe, I will never believe. Well then, you'll never be out of the debtor's prison, not for all eternity, not until you've paid the last farthing. And what Jesus means by that is, you'll never, 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 never get out of the torments, out of the damnation of hell. Never. Only one escape route. It's the gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. Only one. The death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that announces the death of death for those who believe in his name. Eternal life, everlasting life, for whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So you see, the satisfaction of God's justice, I mean, and truth could be made in no other way. Stop shouting. Stop shouting. Well, go on, you go then. On you go then. On you go. Oh, go on then. No, no, no.
Well, you know,
it's a public place, a marketplace.
God is angry with the wicked.
Yes.
You know what?
That's what
he
says.
What? Can we say something? This is our broke.
What?
This is our.
What do you mean?
This is our.
No, it's just a quote.
Drinking food every day, it's just getting aimless.
It's just a wee taste.
We've lived on these streets and
it's just a wee taste. Just a wee taste. I've been where you are.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have. You don't know squat, dear. You don't know.
What?
You don't know nothing about me. What do you know about me? What do you know about me? Huh? Come and tell me then. Come and tell me. She says, this is hell. This is hell. No, it's just a down payment. It's just a guarantee of what's to come. If you don't believe, if you don't repent, believe the gospel, that is. It's just a foretaste. It's just a wee drop, you know? It's just a taste of what's to come. Yeah, the misery. There's a cause to the misery. She's right, I get it. I understand what she's saying. Yeah? It's absolute misery. But do you ever stop to think and ask yourself the question, what's the cause of the misery? It's your sin. That's what it is. And there's only one cure. God's Son, Jesus Christ, and His dying on the cross to satisfy divine justice and divine truth. It could be made no other way. No other way. The soul that sins, it shall die. You know? In the day that thou eatest thereof, there shall die. There had to be a death. And Jesus Christ accomplished that death. A perfect man, a sinless man, dying in the place of others, a substitute taking your penalty. That's the love of Jesus Christ for sinners. Willing to walk into that tomb. Willing to walk to that cross. Willing to take that pain, suffering, shame upon himself, that disgrace upon himself, to be hung on a tree so that you, a sinner, could be forgiven. So that you could be set free, so that you could be a child of God, be reconciled to God. That's the love of God in Jesus Christ. There's a way out. There's a way of escape. There's a way back to God. There's a way out of the misery. There's a way out of the pain. There is an answer. There is a cure. His name is Jesus. Why was necessary that he should suffer death? And by the death of the Son of God, think about it. The Son of God and God the Son. Only God the Son could bear the wrath of God upon himself on that cross, on that tree, made by the Son of God. Ah, heaven's delight. He's heaven's delight. He's the one that, you know, is just totally and absolutely admired and delighted in heaven. God's very best, you know, think about it. Anyone, any parent or grandparent here, would you give any one of your children, grandchildren, up to the death of the cross, for any one person in this world, never mind the whole world, I tell you what, I've got 6 children, 2 adopted, and I've got 9 grandchildren, and I wouldn't give one of them for any one of you, for the best of you. But God gave his Son up to the death of the cross for the worst of you. That the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Oh, I tell you, it's necessary. Very necessary that the Son of God, that Jesus Christ, should suffer death. So why was he buried? Well, he was buried, and he lay buried for 3 days to prove that he was dead. Because, you know, just back then, just like now, you got these fantasists, you know, in spite of the evidence. You know, in spite of God's word, God's truth spoken in holiness, It doesn't matter what you tell these fantasists, these conspiracy theories, you know, theorists like, you know, always come up with something. Well, he didn't really die. There was one Muslim guy said to me, I think it was last week, the week before, no, he didn't die, he just went up. I mean, what does that mean? Like, yeah, and where does he get that from? It's not in the Quran, it's not in the Bible, you know, just plucked out of his mind. Now, he didn't just go up, he died, and he was buried, and he laid in the tomb for 3 days. To show, to prove that he was dead, yeah? And some people, they come up with a theory, well, he just swooned, he just fainted, you know? And in the coolness of the tomb, he was revived, you know, and came back again, you know? To his senses and so forth. All stuff and nonsense, you know. You got historical records. You got the Word of God that has been microscopically examined more than any other book in the world, I tell you. And never yet once. Not an ounce of it, not an iota of it, not one word of it, yet disproved that ever shall be. He was dead and buried. 3 days in the tomb to prove that he was dead. He died. And he died that death in order that you might have life. He died that death that sinners might be forgiven, reconciled to God, made alive in Jesus, brought out of your misery, brought out of the pain, the torment of your sin, your hell now, so that you would not have to go to hell then when you finish. Saved from it and saved by the blood of the Lamb, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Sent into this world, crucified, dead, buried, to show that he was really dead. So since Christ died, why do we have to die too? Well, that's because your death is not, will not be, it will come. It's appointed unto man once to die. And that comes, of course, to young people as well as old, middle-aged too. Comes, you know, to every one of us eventually. 70 years, maybe, by God's grace. And then maybe a few more. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you'll not even get out of your teens. I don't know. You know, your life is in God's hands, you see. It's appointed unto man once to die. An appointment, yeah? An appointment. Some appointments you keep, some appointments you don't. Some appointments you phone up, you know. Dentist, doctor, hairdresser, you cancel, you postpone, you do what you want. But this is an appointment you will keep. It's marked in God's calendar, yeah? There's a decade, there's a year, there's a month, there's a week, there's a day, there's an hour, a moment marked in God's calendar when you personally will breathe your last, cock your toes up and go out of this world, feet first, naked, the way you came in. You won't take your toys with you, you won't take your phone, you won't take your laptop, you won't take nothing with you. You'll go out the same way that you came in. It's appointed, you see. It's divinely appointed unto man once to die. But that doesn't pay the price for your sin, you dying. It's only the dying of somebody else. It's only the dying of a perfect man. It's only the dying of the Son of God. The one who was truly God and truly man and without sin. Only his death makes satisfaction for sin, not your death. Your death is just your wages. Wages of sin is death. That's why you have to die. Some while ago, a young woman asked me the question. Bereaved. She said, why do people have to die? Well, you ever thought about it? Why? Why can't they find a cure for it? They never will. It's God's curse upon you for your sin. It's sin's wages. It's payback time. It's time to meet the judge. And he's standing before the juror now, the Bible says. And soon you're to be in his presence. That door will open and you stand before him and give account in that day. even from now, when you heard the gospel, when you heard the good news, when you heard about God's love, but rejected it again and again and again and again until you were far beyond repair. Now, your death doesn't satisfy for anything. Nothing at all. It just takes you out of this world, and it just takes you into the presence of the judge, and it just brings you into God's courtroom. That's all that it does. You're dying, I mean. So why did unto man wants to die? Well, says the godless. Well, says the atheist, so-called. Well, then it's all over. My suffering will be all over. No more pain, no more sorrow. That'll be the end of it. No, it won't. Because death is not a state of non-being. Your death just carries on and on and on and on throughout all eternity. Brings you into God's courtroom to be dismissed into the place of punishment and to be, as you are now, an object of God's wrath, but then an object of God's wrath for all eternity. Unless that is, of course, you repent and believe the gospel, unless you turn from your sin, unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only out. That's the only out, the only escape route you've got. Eternal life in the name of the Son of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God, the sheer gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For those who believe, you see, it's entrance. Entrance into eternal life. To become objects of God's admiration for all eternity. Because of His grace in them. It's all grace, you see. Grace, grace, grace. Like I said at the beginning, what you don't deserve. You know? It's the last thing you deserve. You deserve nothing but death, you know? That's all, that's the only human right that you have is death. Huh? Like I say, look at the old man poisoning the minds of the youngsters. Hey, young fellas, don't listen to him. Don't listen to his unbelief. Don't listen to his godless claptrap. Yeah. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? You know, when you've got older people, elderly people in your society that ought to be teaching your young people the right way. But when they're godless like that, is it any wonder your young people are the way that they are? Did you see their behavior here last week, last Tuesday? Any wonder? Any wonder they behave like morons? Huh? Any wonder they behave like reprobates? When you've got that, when you've got older people confirming them in their godlessness, in their wickedness, and you ask me the question, why? Why should God be angry with the wicked every day? Well, because he is. Because of your wickedness. Because of your sin, because of your unbelief. But those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, death for them is the entrance into eternal life. So what more benefit does a person get from the death of God's Son on the cross? Well, the old nature. The old nature, you see, is put to death. That nature that you got from your parents, conceived in sin and born in sin, and live in sin with a sinful nature. That's all you can do. Young man said to me some while ago, he says, I choose not to believe your message. I said to him, son, that's the only choice you've got. You've got no other choice. Because you've got a wicked, sinful nature. You inherited it from Adam. You inherited it from your parents. That's where you got it from. And friends, it's never finished. It's never dead, even for the believer. It's not dead until they die. But when when they die, of course, that's the end of sin, finished then forevermore. Because of the death of Jesus, God's Son on their behalf. So then you see, of course, the evil lusts that plague the souls, you know, men and women, that fill your hearts and mind today. Well, of course, that they'll be gone. They'll come to a finish then. But of course, all you're left with is the penalty of them. You know? You're filled with lust today, lusting after one another, lusting after what you should not. But of course, friends, you know, sometimes God just gives you what you want. You know, gives you your desires. You know, you say, I don't want God, I don't want His salvation, I don't want His Son, I don't want His gospel. So God says, okay, I'll open you another door. And I'll even give you a push through the door. And I'll give you what you want. I'll give you over to another power. I'll give you over to the power of yourself. And I tell you, that's the worst. That's the worst punishment that you could possibly have in this world. For God to give you what you want. For God to give you over to what you want. For God to give you over to a reprobate mind. I pray that not happen to you, but that God give you ears to hear, give you a heart to believe, give you a will to obey Him. Before that happens, before that happens. So then, of course, well, you might ask another question.
Satan's better, man.
You what, sir? You think so, sir? You think so? You won't always think that, son. Get your head right. Get your head right, son. So why is it added to that Jesus? Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I was disgusted with the way the... What day was it when
those
kids?
Last Tuesday. Terrible.
That's disgusting, that was.
Terrible. That's what they're like.
Yeah, I'm standing over there.
Yeah.
Pension,
yeah.
You know, I can't even recall being that disrespectful.
No. I might have, in unbelief, laughed, you know what I mean? But no more than that, like, you know what I mean? I would never have behaved myself like that, no, definitely not. No, it's another generation that's, I think with each one it's just getting worse, like, you know. It will do to the end, like, you know, but, yeah.
I mean, I'm not 100% a believer in religion or anything
right.
like that,
uh-huh.
You know, I'm stuck in between.
Yeah, respect, respect. Yeah.
Judge anybody for what they believe.
Yeah.
It's just so wrong.
Yeah, totally agree with you. But there you go.
I just try to live my life the best I can.
But I'm used to it. Like, you know, you don't ever get used to it. Like, but it's not unusual. It's not unusual. Yeah, I've had it several times. Like, you know, yeah. Would you like a copy of the New Testament? Do you ever read?
I've got a Bible.
Have you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Been talking to some other Christians around the
right.
corner.
Okay, alright.
And one of them has given me a phone number.
Right.
And a place to go meet. And
okay, alright.
I'm arranging to meet him next week.
That's good. Well, I wonder who that is. Right, okay, good.
Because I believe that regardless of what people's abilities, disabilities,
yeah.
faith, gender, we should all unite as a
respect,
people.
Yeah, a lot of respect. Respect, common respect. I mean, it's just a common thing. Like, it's the way we used to be brought up. Like, you know, you respect people. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I was taught. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a youngster, like, you know, you might not agree with somebody, but you respect them. Like, you know.
I mean, I know what it's like to be judged. Because I went for years when I was unemployed.
Right.
Because I was diagnosed with epilepsy.
Right.
But on a very load of medication.
Right.
That was doing me no good.
Uh-huh.
Eventually I got a job. And I'm better for it now.
That's good, yeah. Yeah. Pleased to hear that, yeah.
Actually, not a version of the Bible are you using?
That one is the King James.
Oh, we use the King James one. I was just wondering,
okay. So where are you from? What are you?
Oh,
who are you?
I'm baptized Mormon.
A Mormon. Okay, well, don't have to say that way. You don't have to say that way. You could believe the gospel and get saved.
I prefer believing that way.
Yeah, I know. It's not the truth, though, is it? It's not the truth.
What denomination are you?
I'm a Presbyterian minister, Bible-believing Christian, born again of the Spirit of God. See, religion, well, it doesn't matter what the brand is, you know, I have a respect for you, a respect for your belief, you know, I'm not disrespecting you, but, you know, it's, whatever the religion, Islam, Romanism, Mormonism, JWism, it's all the flesh, you know, and it's like Jesus says, the flesh profits nothing, it's the Spirit who gives life, you must be born again. And until you are born again, you won't see. No, I'm not going to argue. No. Yeah. I know. Soul sleep and all that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, but everything's flesh until you are born again, until God puts His love into your, His life into your soul. I mean, people ask, okay, what does it mean to be born again? Well, in a nutshell, to put it in simple terms, it's the supernatural act of God putting His life into a person's soul and putting His love into their hearts. That's what it is in a nutshell. It's a miracle, and until that miracle takes place, everything, believe me, everything is just the flesh.
Do you know, you preach about the power of forgiveness?
Hmm.
And the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Because I was attacked in the year 2000, serious head injury, skull brain injury.
Yeah, you told me before. Sorry, yeah. But go on.
Well, in 2016, the guy who attacked me contacted me on Facebook because he recognised my surname.
Uh-huh. Right.
So easily forgettable.
Yeah.
My wife said to me, go meet him. Because for years I was walking the streets watching everybody.
Right.
I was living in fear.
Right.
And that was probably what was causing me seizures.
Anxiety, right. Okay.
And everything.
Okay. Yeah.
So I messed up with him.
Yeah.
And I forgave him.
Right, good for you.
I am now proud to say that we're friends.
I'm sure that's good.
He's turned his life around big time.
Is he right?
He really has.
Right.
He's a good bloke and he was really sorry for what he did to me back then.
Now there's the power of a man's forgiveness, but when you know the power of God's forgiveness, I tell you that you can multiply that 7 times. Yeah, and next, I'm not going to fight with you. But have a nice day. Ask your question. Yeah. So, how you doing, sir? Good. You got a Bible? You want one?
I've got one.
You got one?
Yeah.
Good for you. Good. Good.
He's going to sound like an army to be honest.
Oh dear, right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I fell out with him.
Oh dear. Sorry to hear that.
When my son died, he refused to do the funeral.
Did they really?
He'd been in the Salvation Army 20 odd years.
Dear, oh dear.
Asked him to do the funeral on the day, and he says, no, we have a coffee morning that day, so he wouldn't do it.
My.
So, that's not on it.
Dear, oh dear.
Stuck
here. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, I don't know what you live like, but there's a lovely fellowship up by Hearts called the Hearts Hall Bible Church.
Right.
You find it in the phone book or on the internet.
I live in Nottingham.
I don't know where that is.
Just near Silverdale.
Right. Okay. Anyway, have a good day, sir. Eh? Nice talking to you. Yeah. Yeah. Problems all kinds. Eh?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And I think people do need an example.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, our very best example is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, He suffered for us, died for our sins, and He lived that blameless life, you know, First Peter, you know, Peter makes that point, that He's our example, you know, we're to follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. Yeah. But like I was saying to the young lady, first of all, we have to be born again. You know, God has to work in us by the gospel. You know, we have to repent, we have to believe, and follow Jesus. Yeah. Anyway, nice talking to you.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me that story before.
There's got to be something after life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there is. There is.
There isn't.
Yeah.
Life is pointless.
Yeah, yeah. No, there is. There is.
It's got to be.
There is. Oh, definitely. Death is not a state of non-being. It continues, life continues on, but it's either in heaven with God or in hell with the devil and his angels. It's one of the two.
I know by that, maybe.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah. Get into that Bible, sir. What's your first name again?
David.
David, that's it, yeah. Yeah, get into that Bible, David, eh? New Testament, try John's Gospel. Yeah, it's brilliant. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. How? By his dying on the cross. Yeah.
I'm going to start reading it.
Yeah, have a read, David.
I'm going to start reading it.
And I'll pray for you as you do. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What's your name again?
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hi.
Pleasure
to be there. Hi, you too. You too. Have a good day. God bless you.
I'm going to wait now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Take care.
And you. So my final question is, why does it say that he descended into hell? Well, it's not that Jesus Christ descended into hell. Hell came upon him on the cross. He suffered hell so that you might not suffer it yourself. He suffered it on the cross, forsaken of God his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried from the cross. Why? Because he was covered in the sins of the world. That's why. But in order that, so that when the person who truly repents of their sin and believes on his name, that hell that belonged to them, that was their just deserts, is no longer theirs. But eternal life, eternal glory, heaven, never to be forsaken of God. But of course, that day will come, and I must needs tell you, that day will come when you will be finally and fully forsaken of God. When you'll hear these words, I never knew you, you worker of lawlessness. Get out of my sight, I never knew you. Forsaken, abandoned, forever in the damnation of hell. That hell Jesus took upon himself on the cross that it might not be yours. But only in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God. Faith alone. In Christ alone, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One name, and one name only. His name is not Joseph Smith. Yeah. His name is Jesus, the Son of God that loved sinners, died on the cross, suffered the pains of death, and suffered the pains of hell upon himself, that they might not be yours, that you might be liberated, set free. Through faith in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. So I call upon you today in Newcastle once again, repent ye and believe the gospel. No other way. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And you cannot enter that kingdom any other way but in the way of repentance and faith. God's call to you. He calls, will you come? He commands, will you obey? Will you bow the knee? Jesus now, once dead but now alive, and alive forevermore, at the right hand of God reigning. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Better is it not that you bow the knee to him today as your Savior, rather than as your judge later on. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, but yield, submit, surrender yourself to God through his Son Jesus Christ in the way of repentance and faith as he commands. Repent ye and believe the gospel, he says. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You like a copy of God's word, check these things out for yourself. It's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. A copy of the entire New Testament. You're simply for the asking. You'd like one. You come and ask for one. Receive.